yay! Oh, yay! Welcome to the St. Martin's to East Lough Quay walking route.
Welcome to the St. Martin's to East Lough walking route via Barbican Hill and Belinda Lane. This third walk is via Barbican Hill, Belinda Lane, known locally as the Zigzag, to 4th Street. At the sign, cross the road to the pedestrian path on the other side of the road, taking care to look for traffic both ways. Walkers now need to cross the road again to the pavement on the right-hand side of the road, taking care to look and listen for cars. Now the road rises gently to an area known as Sunrising, past Lough Community Academy. The road now levels along Barbican Road, follow the road along past the Barbican Inn, the Barbican Parade of Shops on the right, and Lough Primary School on the left. The word barbican is thought to be from medieval Latin, barbicana, signifying the outer fortification of a city or castle, perhaps deriving ultimately from Arabic or Persian bab khana, gatehouse and towered gateway, or even from the medieval English berkenning, a fortified outpost or gateway, such as an outer defence to a city or castle, or any tower situated over a gate or bridge, which was used for defensive purposes. The sign at the Barbican Pub illustrates the possible meanings. At the junction of Bayview Road, you have a choice of two routes. Turn right into Barbican Hill and to the town centre, or turn left along Bayview Road, over the Wall Down and Southwest Coast Path to the seafront. If you've chosen the Barbican Hill route, the road gradually gets steeper and steeper, and as you round the first sharp corner by the junction with Pendrim Road, the spectacular vista of West Lough and Lough Islands to the south opens before you. There are two choices of route into the town centre. As you get to the bottom of Clamarvan Drive at the seat, turn right down Belinda Lane, known locally as the Zigzag. You'll see the original walls of the walled gardens of Clamarvan House, now apartments. At the bottom of the Zigzag, which is quite steep, is a well that was renovated in 1977 by the Lough Old Cornwall Society, and a new gate added in 2006. The new gate was made possible by a generous legacy from Beatrice Rose Whittington, who lived from 1895 to 2004. The sign on the gate says she was a member of the society too. Now here's John Southern talking about local points of interest on Barbican Hill, including Old Barbican Farm, Cold Harbour Lane, and the well at the bottom of Shutter Road.
Well, I know very little about the farm. It's rather modern, 1883, but it stands alongside, on a floodplain, of course, but it stands alongside quite a large reservoir. At one time, it had been an ancient barrow, probably the highest spot overlooking Lough. Cold Harbour Lane, I believe the name is English, which means cold comfort for anyone staying in that area, and particularly if they were taking lodgings, no doubt. They would get very little for what they wanted. But it was a shortcut. The lane itself was a shortcut from Barbican Hill up to the higher levels, which saved one having to walk around by the big quarry. But when they built St. Winnow's Estate in the 1960s, unfortunately, the lane was filled in and it's now lost forever. The lower part of Cold Harbour Lane You have to climb a few steps to get into the entrance to the lane. That's still its stand, the entrance to the lane, but then you come up against a huge bank. But the name in Barbican Rocks was where the Barbican Hill was cut through the rock. It's the highest point of rock in the area. The road itself is extremely old. It was the main road from the borough of Eastlow to Liscard, up to the Ridgeway. Down the bottom of Barbican Hill, on the crossroads, there were two stables. I believe they were both on two stories, so the horses were kept there for taking wagons up the hill and also bringing them down, no doubt, because you would need sometimes 16 or even more horses to take up some great big heavy loads. You come up from the big stables down the bottom of Barbican Hill, you go up Barbican Hill, and then there is a lane on your left which cuts down to Shutter Lane and to Loo. That lane is often referred to as Belinda Lane, and I believe the name is not, I don't think the name's correct, but it was dear Austin Toms, who was a marvellous historian. I can't praise him enough. He said Belinda was a daughter of the people who lived in Clamarvin House, and she was crippled or handicapped, and she used to use the lane just for exercise. But Martin Pickin, always, who was the rector of St Martin's and our local historian of quite repute, he called it Blinder Lane. He couldn't get a derivation of the name, but it sounds more feasible to me. Down the bottom of Blinder Lane, there is the old well, which someone has got it labelled as a holy well. Or not labelled, I think it's in the Book of Holy Wells as being the holy well of East Lowe. Well, it isn't. It used to serve the conduit, which was a huge granite conduit, which was down by where Kelly's restaurant is today. And that's where the people from this end of Lowe used to take the water. Great Tree is out at Great Tree, which they now today call Lowe Bay, the holiday camp. That tree was an oak. I have a picture of it, a painting of it, which was done in 1834. And the artist at the time wrote underneath, "Beneath the branches of this venerable oak, gypsies encamped."
At the bottom of the zigzag, turn left, and you'll find yourself in 4th Street opposite the Guildhall. The alternative route is to carry on down Barbican Hill at the Seat. On the left, set high into the wall, is a plaque that marks the spot of the Society of Friends or Quakers burial ground. Quakers, or Friends, are members of the Religious Society of Friends or Friends Church, an international religious movement which focuses on the priesthood of all believers. Most Quakers regard themselves as Christians and include those with evangelical, holiness, liberal and traditional Quaker understandings of Christianity. Friends used to meet on the rocks and beaches in 1670 to avoid fines. A meeting house was built in East Lowe in 1718 but discontinued in 1856. As you continue down Barbican Hill, there are several good vantage points to view the roofscape of East Lowe and West Lowe. At the crossroads near the bottom, the road splits two ways. The right fork takes you to 4th Street, and the left fork takes you to Higher Market Street. The building in front of you at the crossroads is the Masonic Hall. Lowe resident Godfrey Gill has written a comprehensive history of the building called the Meeting House on the Hill.
This rectangular two-story building has stood at the crossroads at the entrance to the old borough of East Lowe for a period of nearly 300 years. It was built by the Quakers to provide a meeting place, a charity school for the children of Lowe, and two cottages within, one for the schoolmaster and one for the caretaker, in 1717. The Quakers were people who dissented from the parish church of England, and they did not believe in paying dues to any authority other than God. And they did not bury their dead with gravestones, and they believed in a close social network. At present, it is a Masonic center and a general hall for the people of Loon. Masonic center is a place where a group of lodges of Freemasons meet regularly. It's also used for other functions within the town.
The right fork is Castle Street, and the left fork is Tower Hill. At the bottom of Castle Street are two of the oldest public houses in East Loo, the Salutation Inn, known affectionately as the Sal by locals, and the Ship Inn. Ivor Toms talks about these two former coaching inns.
Let us start at the bottom of Barbican Hill, which was the main road into Loo for many, many years. At the bottom is the Ship Hotel, which must have been a staging house for the people travelling through Loo, stopping overnight. Opposite is the Salutation, which is a wonderful pub, one of the oldest in Loo, I would think, with a slate floor which slopes towards the quay. It's full of pictures of the old fishermen, fishing boats, and it was the main place for all the shark fishing fraternity. They all used to end up in there after being out at sea all day, you know. Next to that is the antique shop, Tony Martin's, which, when I was a boy, was a shoe shop, which belonged to Reg Toms and Jack Toms. In the street side, under the window, it's been cemented with stones from the beach. In amongst this, if you look carefully, you can see the name Toms, which sort of jumps out at you after a while, you know. From there, this used to be lived in at one time. This was somebody's home, you know. And next to this is the archway, a wonderful feature which runs straight out to the quay. If you go under the arch and straight out to the quay, before you get to the ferry steps on the quay, on the right-hand side is a new building, which used to be the Granite Works. This had a terrific history of cutting granite from Cheese Ring, which ended up all over the world. Calcutta docks, lighthouses, in actual fact, London Bridge, the one they sold to America, a lot of it was made on the quay in Loo. And from there you turn down the quay, and there used to be a big crane on the quay, wooden crane, next to the diesel. This is gone now, but that's where they used to load the big schooners, which went all over the world, you know, carrying granite. And also they used to have a railway came down there with copper ore, china clay, granite, everything. It was a really industrious place at Loo at one time, you know. It was so important, they had two MPs. One for East Loo, one for West Loo. Most of the Toms has originated from Paul Perrow. I know I trace my line back to Paul Perrow. And Talland, you find Toms is buried at Talland, you know. We lived in West Loo originally, you know, in a tiny house. I think there was about nine children. And you just can't believe how small the house was. They used to have been, must have all slept in one bed, I should think, you know. That's the way a lot of people lived in Loo, you know. The Tomses are all over the world now. Right down through Cornwall and with the mining. I actually traced one lot which I found on the Ellis Island records, and they'd emigrated to America from Russia. So God knows where they went through their life, you know. Australia, everywhere. I'm a bit lost now.
At the bottom of Towner Hill is the Fisherman's Public House opposite the old Guildhall Museum and Jail. We now hear from local Neil Birchwood Harper about the museum artefacts and the pub itself.
Situated at the bottom of what was the only route into and out of Loo for centuries, Barbican Hill, the public house now known as the Fisherman's Arms, was once known as the Red Lion. It was built in 1610 and in Victorian times owned by William Alford. A few years ago, The front door jambs were stripped and repainted. Luckily, I managed to photograph the carving on one of the jambs. The inn is apparently haunted by a young man who killed himself in a back room of the building. The old Guildhall Museum and Jail. The building which now houses the museum was built in about 1450 in the reign of Henry VI. We believed it was used as a meeting hall or guild hall where local merchants, men of business and administration could conduct their affairs. The setting is in the medieval part of the town of East Lowe. Some nearby buildings date from the 1430s. In 1587, Queen Elizabeth I granted a charter to the town which enabled a more structured administration, including a magistrate's court which dealt with the local misdemeanours such as swearing, stealing, vagrancy, etc. An impressive upper floor was added to serve as a court and a meeting place for the town burgesses. This upper floor, with the royal coat of arms over the bench, presents a magnificent sight for the visitors. Our motto, therefore, is step through the door, step back in time. The building sat happily through the reign of Henry VIII and saw the town strengthened against foreign invaders. The town flourished, and prisoners were still secured in the lower floor before being brought up by ladder and trapdoor to face judgment. In Queen Victoria's reign, the jail was declared unfit as there was no exercise yard. In 1878, a new Guildhall was built in Fore Street, and the old Guildhall settled happily into retirement. The upper floor became a reading room, the lower floor housed a caretaker. In the 1970s, the whole building was completely restored, removing the Victorian panelling from the walls and ceiling upstairs, which revealed the former glory of the Elizabethan construction. The young man, Michael Maddox, who undertook this task, left us excellent records of his findings. The museum opened in the mid-1970s, starting with town regalia and items from a smaller museum close by. Now the museum covers the history of Lowe, from prehistory through Celtic Christianity, smuggling, fishing, the two world wars, and much, much more. Our aim is to provide visitors with information on history, family history. We have a fiche reader and fiches from local parishes, all loaned to us by the Cornish Records Office in Truro. Also, we collect information on many topics made available in files, which can provide help to our visitors ranging from those studying for GCSE to those tackling college projects, plus, of course, interesting extra information to those who have hobbies and particular interests. Finally, we have a large collection of photographs of Lowe and its inhabitants through the years from 1870 onwards. Our aim is to provide something of interest to everyone. This is yet another building which is reputedly haunted. There are two spirits, a young lady called Jennifer and a rather glum Burgess. Jennifer was imprisoned by the Burgess, who sought her favours. She was never seen again, and one medium who came to the museum saw her pushed into a quarry.
If you're taking the Bay View Road, the Wool Down and Seafront route, at the junction of Barbican Road and Barbican Hill, turn left along Bay View Road. After 200 metres, you will see a slope with a stile at the end, which is the entrance to an open space of Lowe known as the Wool Down. John Southern talks about the history and points of interest of this elevated open space of East Lowe, overlooking the town and Lowe Bay.
In the fields over Lowe, we've got the Wool Down, which was always spelled as two words, and then you had Higher Windmill and Lower Windmill. And then there was Cold Harbour Meadow. I've named my house after the meadow because I bought the field. But in Higher Windmill, there is a small concrete enclosure which some people say housed a wartime gun. But whatever I thought myself, that it housed wrens who were there taking signals or whatever to do with the radar station at Dounderry. At that place, there were four pylons made of wood, not metal. And one of those pylons is, I believe, it's down on the Lizard today. The windmills, which stood in those two fields, one is no relic, no remains at all, but the other one in lower windmill field, there is the walls of the windmill still stand on the edge of John Grimer's garden. John Grimer was our local school teacher. And they date in the 1600s. But there is no evidence. We've never been able to find any record of who the McMillers were or anything at all about them. Well, the wool down really sits on the edge of East Lou Borough boundary, which ran from Penrock off Tom Barber's, the famous diving rock down on Lou Beach, and then it, in a more or less straight line right up over the cliff, and it went up Cripples Lane, which not Cripples Lane, nothing to do with crippled people, Cripples Lane, and that path has been overgrown for donkey's years. It needs to be pared out and kept pared out because it's one of the, I think it's a most fascinating lane. If you crawl through all those brambles as I have and examine the dry stone walls, great antiquity those walls, small stones, tightly compacted. There's no other example quite like it. On top of the wall down, on a little outcrop of rock, really, is two cannons. I believe they're made of concrete, and there's a beacon. This is really modern and no interest at all to me. I mean, when I say modern, probably no more than 20 years, if that.
Follow the signs down over the fields to the southwest coast path, which takes you westwards to the area known as Eastcliff, with spectacular views over the beach, Banjo Pier and Loo Bay. We now talk to Dave Skentlebury about the watchtower, the obelisk, the fountain and the gig boathouse, beach activities and also the promenade.
I was vice chairman of East Lou Town Trust, and the seafront and the beach, which is owned by East Lou Town Trust, came into my remit because I lived closest to the seafront, so if anything went wrong, I was the closest there to try and put things right. Well, the buildings have changed, really. Once upon a time, the beach was lower and they had a lot of beach huts along, but the sand, with changes of current, the sand is much higher than it used to be, and so there's no space for beach huts. But it was in quite a bad state, so we had to money had to be put into it, and it was been tidied up over the years. There was an old watchtower there, and there's a couple of restaurants, or cafes, so we say. And from the seafront, you can look out, right out across to the Eddystone Light, and see the Loo Island, just to the west of the seafront. And there's a Banjo Pier, which is known locally as the Banjo Pier, which is a pier that closes the beach from the harbour entrance. So the boats come in and out into the river, but it's completely free from the beach itself, which has got no currents at all. So it's a completely safe beach for families and children to be playing on. To the east of the beach, the cliffs were crumbling. Something had to be done about it, so they decided to put concrete there to try to protect the beach, which in itself has created different currents, and that's why the sand is much higher now than it used to be, because the currents run completely the opposite way to what it used to. Well, currents are such, not dangerous currents, but the flow of water. These were done, part of the whole coastline, Seaton and Dounderry had it done, but I think it started off with Loo, which passed the problem on to Seaton and Dounderry. But the seafront now is pleasant place for people to stand and see and sit, and you can see, as I say, the old Eddystone Lighthouse, which is about 12 miles out to sea. You can see that flashing at night time, and Loo Island is just to the west of protects the beach, actually, the Loo Island does. It would be a lot of current and wind coming in from the west, but the island completely protects the beach for everyone, and it's sort of even right through the winter, it's quite a pleasant sort of place to be. It was a few years ago they decided to build a lifeboat station on the west side of the seafront. They'd need an emergency slip, although they normally would launch into the river, they need an emergency slip to go across the beach to get to sea. So the slipway was improved. There was always steps or a slipway there of some sort, but they've made it into a substantial area now where the Red Wing yachts can be launched, and they have the sailing championships there. They also use that slipway, but it was being, the lifeboat actually built it or put the money into it and developed it into a sort of quite a substantial structure. The Watchtower, which is a cafe now, was where the lifeboat was kept, but it moved from being a biggish lifeboat, which I think is in full peril now, to a rubber dinghy type of lifeboat. So they built quite a spectacular building there. That used to be a crazy golf course there, actually, up until a few years ago, but that was been developed into the new lifeboat house. We had quite a well-known artist performing around the seafront at Loo, a guy called Poggio. I believe he came from Gibraltar originally, and they were, during the war, they were moved to North Africa and arrived in Loo as refugees. And he was very often seen around, or spent his lifetime doing lightning sketches and of holidaymakers, and were often seen around the seafront. He had a studio at one point, but sitting in his studio door doing lightning sketches of mainly holidaymakers. They are the only ones around that had any money, so it was the holidaymakers that he was sketching. But he originated, I believe, in Gibraltar. Poggio's drawings can still be seen in Snug at the Salutation, one of the old inns in Loo Street.
This is the end of our walking route around St Martin's and East Loo via the Barbican, Belinda Lane, Castle Street and Tower Hill, as well as the Woldown and the South West Coast Path. We do hope you've enjoyed it, and listen to the other walking routes on this site.